It's been quite a mixed global performance today. Asian markets ended their day in the red, while European markets looked reasonably firmer as they were about to close, with US markets very firmly up, with the Dow up over 1.5% and the S&P 500 up 1.2% at last check. The local all-share index ended the day down 0.11%. Resources were up 0.3%. Industrials by 0.02%, basically flat, while financial counters ended the day down nearly 1%. Precious metal prices were up on the day. We see the gold price trading at around $1,785 an ounce. And in the energy space, we see Brent crude is on the rise. We see that trading above $74 a barrel. The local currency is largely firmer against major currencies. We see the rand trading at 14.26 against the US dollar, 16.98 versus the euro, but has lost a bit of ground against the British pound, trading currently at 19.83. Well, to take us through the markets, I'm joined on the line by Makwe Masilela. He's Chief Investment Officer at Makwe Fund Managers. Thanks very much, Makwe, for joining us. Markets have really changed their mood today. Asian markets were not doing so well. We seem to have followed the Asian markets, but European and US markets are in positive territory. We know that in the backdrop is the more hawkish tone that was announced by the Fed last week. So what's driving markets more positively this afternoon?
Yeah, good evening to you and to the listeners. You are right. At some point, we're following Asian markets as we open down, almost 0.4% down, but at last, sanity is starting to prevail as now markets have started after the volatile week that we've seen, caused by the comments that the US Fed could move interest rates sooner than expected. But yeah, things have just changed, and as you said, we ended the day more flattish. We managed to recover most of those losses. But number one is interesting. If you look at the gap between what we call short-dated and long-term bond yields, that gap is narrowing, and that itself is a sign that investors are turning away from the bets that benefit from a sustained rise in inflation, and also the fact that we've got lots of Fed officials talking this week, and tomorrow as well, we have the U.S. Fed chair talking, and markets will be watching that closely for any guidance when it comes to tapering. And there was a survey that indicated that central bank policy error is apparently the third biggest risk when it comes to markets. That's obviously after the likes of this higher than expected inflation and bond yields, and also the new variants to the coronavirus that might bypass the COVID-19 vaccines that we see. So as well, oil prices are heating up, and all underpinned by this strong demand during this summer driving season. And remember also there was a pause when it comes to the talks between Iran and the world powers about the Iran nuclear deal, and hence we see oil prices, I mean, hitting the way they are. And for the fact that you get a drop when it comes to U.S. Treasury yields, and also you see some pause when it comes to the dollar, because as you said, the rand managed to get some strength trading at 14.26. That itself lifted its gold prices, and also we see platinum stocks doing well, and maybe it's not surprising that our resources are the ones who tried to help the local bosses compared to the financials, which are down.
Yeah. It was anticipated that if the Iranian talks went ahead, it would mean a bit more oil supply on the global market. But now we see, of course, there were elections in Iran, and he's described as a conservative gentleman, Ibrahim Raisi. He's been elected. So what do you think that will mean for the nuclear talks? Is he going to be Western friendly and be willing to talk to the West and the United States as well? Is this a positive or a negative thing for the oil price?
So far, it's been a negative in the sense that for oil importing countries like us, it's negative because oil prices are going up.
Yeah.
You know? But probably for oil producing countries, that should be a good thing. And remember, apparently one of the conditions is that they want the U.S. to remove sanctions against him before they proceed with the talks. So already you can see that hard end. So it's not going to be an easy one, but at some point we know that Iran, they definitely need to come back as they rely on that oil to be able to sustain the economy. So you are right. It's not going to be an easy one this time around because the guy seems more like a hardliner more than anything.
And then just going back to the whole Jerome Powell thing, like you say, he's speaking in front of Congress tomorrow. Why would he give any more detail than he gave in the Fed announcement last week? Because the announcement was quite clear that indeed they're looking at raising interest rates come 2023. But like you say, perhaps mum on the issue of tapering, but why would they mention that at Congress and not mention it after their the equivalent of the MPC?
You know, when it comes to Congress, they report to Congress. They have to tell Congress what is happening. Congress has to have an opportunity to cross-examine them, ask all these difficult questions. And remember now, the statement that are coming from the FOMC is kind of conflicting. On Friday, we heard Bullard saying, listen, we don't even think the Fed can move in 2023. Probably they should start moving interest rates now in 2022. So that itself is kind of conflicting. And for the fact that they are saying they're going to depend on what is happening with the economy, make sure that they maintain their dual mandate, which is employment and also inflation, they have to explain what tools do they have. Are we not going to see that tantrum that we've seen when it comes to tapering, or are they going to do it in a very steady way? And I think the issue here is we all know that at some point we have to return to normality. We have to make sure that at some point all this support that we've been getting, all because of the central banks, the governments themselves, it was all because of the pandemic. So if pandemic gets to be handled, what is it that you're going to be doing? And for markets, we know very well that interest rates have to go up at some point. But the question is, how rapid? If the guys do it in a very steady way, if the guys also inform us on time when it comes to tapering, I mean, the guys are buying almost $120 billion of bonds, you know, a month. Whether they're going to do it in such a way that it doesn't rattle the market, those are the issues that they need to address. And also, we have this whole thing that usually the central banks, they are more playing or talking to the market more than the main economy. And I think they need to ask them hard questions that what is it that you are doing as the Fed to make sure that you uplift the whole economy? Because truth be told, markets are the only ones which have been benefiting from all this support.
Indeed. And then, of course, Bitcoin, it's come under pressure. We were getting excited not that long ago because it managed to get back over $40,000. But now it's hovering around $32,000. And I see from my reading that it has something to do with the Chinese authorities preventing financial service companies from allowing cryptocurrency transactions. Is this quite a serious spanner in the works for cryptos?
Definitely it is. Remember, for crypto to start going up the way it was the fact that it is getting more popularity and it's getting to be accepted as a medium of payment. So now, if that is not going to be allowed, then it dampens the whole thing, the outlook of crypto going forward. As we know, other governments have got issues about it being used for wrong things. So now, if you get the people like China saying, listen, you don't have to accept this, even though we know the likes of Elon Musk that saying they were going to accept it to buy their cars. At some point, they changed the tone, stuff like that. So it's still very muddy when it comes to crypto. But yes, the recent decline in crypto is all because of the Chinese authorities and other authorities who are struggling to accept it as a medium of payment for all the reasons that they believe are correct, because they strongly feel that people are not using this to do wrong things. And remember as well, the ransom money that was paid after the guys have just taken over the pipeline, the guys were paid in crypto for the fact that the U.S. government managed to retrieve some of the money. It should put a question to most guys that how? We thought central banks cannot trace this. We thought governments cannot interfere when it comes to crypto. But here they are. They managed to recoup some of the ransom money. So what has been sold, it might not be 100% true about crypto.
Interesting. And then Naspers, our heavyweight on the JSE, or one of the heavyweights, they came out with results. Just speak to those a little bit, and whether you're impressed, and whether, you know, the whole issue around the discount that's on this company, is management going to be able to address the issue?
that issue is going to not be addressed easily, because we've seen other managers, asset managers, are not too happy with this whole issue of the process announcing that voluntary share exchange to acquire 45.4% of Naspers shares. But generally, Naspers, as they're doing, I think the guys have done very well. You know, the group trading profit up 49%, the group revenue up 34%, and we know the group has benefited from their online focus and also their global reach, and also their diversified operations, and more importantly, a strong financial footing. So hence, the group could effectively respond to the wealth increased demand when it comes to online product and services, which were triggered by COVID-19. And people are getting used to this online story. So even after COVID, most probably people will still continue to do some online business. And yes, Tencent continue to be a star performer.
Excellent. Makwe, thank you very much for your time. As always, Makwe Masilela, he's the Chief Investment Officer at Makwe Fund Managers.